Hey everybody, welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, and of course, Jim Donnan, the Hall of Famer himself, former Georgia head coach. Sorry we're running a little bit late today. That's my fault because it took me a while to get over here to Academia Brewing Company, where I am sitting in their big meeting room. Well, actually, I was here on time, but we're setting up and they're canning. They're canning another beer, so it was a little loud where I decided I wanted to just, like, show everybody that, you know, they got beer coming off the line, going to the cans. It's really loud right there. So I came over to their nice quiet meeting room with all the giant collages behind me. And we're going to get some good food in here at Academia Brewing Company. Just want to let everybody know that this is a fantastic place to get new beers, great food, and just to watch all your games. They have big watch parties here. I'm looking at this giant screen and all the projectors and the lounge I have here. Great place to watch this Saturday's game at noon. So check out Georgia versus Missouri. Shout out to other sponsors, Athens Ford, Your Pie, Aaron Overhead Doors, DR Construction Maintenance, Masada Leather. Big shout out to all those folks, and we'll talk about them later in the show. But Coach, I want to kind of get your take. Last week at this time, we were talking about Georgia facing Vanderbilt, and then Friday afternoon, barely afternoon, like Friday at 11:30 to 12 o'clock, then they decided they can't play. I know the Georgia fans were disappointed because they were all looking forward to senior day, but kind of give us your thoughts on the Vandy debacle and looking ahead to Missouri, because this Missouri team looks a lot stronger than they did earlier in the year.
Yeah, it was tough not having senior day, particularly the big buildup, you know, parents coming in, everything. And it's just a situation with Vanderbilt. I mean, I read today where they've had some more guys opt out. Their big D lineman has opted out. They're down under 46 players now. I don't know if they'll play against Tennessee or not, but you got to think it's up in the air where they'll play against us for sure. But in 2 weeks. But as far as the Missouri game, I had a chance to watch them against Vandy and against Arkansas. And it looked like Arkansas had the game in tow, but Missouri pulled a good come from behind. And then inexplicably, Arkansas let him go the length of the field after converting a really unbelievable 2-point play where it went right through the Mizzou guy's hands. So, you know, their quarterback, as Kirby mentioned yesterday, is operating on a pretty good level now. And they've got that Roundtree kid who has given us trouble in the past. You know, a couple years ago out there, they ran the ball really effectively against us when we played kind of a stop-the-pass type defense against Drew Locke. And they got a lot of running yards. But last year, we pretty much put the snafu on him. I think it's getting some of these guys back. It's going to be good. Hopefully, Davis and LeCount can get in there some. And it's just a case of offense taking care of business. I mean, you can call how you want to call the game any way you want to do it. I mean, we can run on them. We can throw on them. We just can't stop ourselves. And, you know, the weather's going to be what it is, but I don't think it's going to be out of sight out there. It's just a case of we don't play many games sub 45 degrees, but we're going to do this one this week. So I'm sure – kind of a subplot here, Dan Lanning coming home to the state of Missouri. You know, he was a player at William Jewell College and a lot of his family there in Kansas City. So it's going to be a big game for him coaching at Faroe Field there where, you know, a lot of kids grew up wanting to go to Missouri. I don't know if he did or not, but it's a big thrill for him coaching against his state team there. So a lot of subplots here.
As you bring up a good point there, especially about, you know, Georgia not beating itself. And as much as we're focused on the fact that Missouri looks to be a much better team now than when Georgia was originally scheduled to face them, we've had a couple of features by Dane Young and Brent Rollins talking about the evolution of Georgia over the season. This is a different Georgia offense than we saw earlier in the year. I mean, it started off pretty good, then had some struggles in the middle of the season. But now under JT Daniels and the return of George Pickens and some of these other guys getting back, Georgia seems to be, I don't want to say hitting on all cylinders, but doing a lot better than they were before. Dane, kind of give us a recap on your analysis that you and Brent came up with.
Yeah, so we just kind of examined where Georgia was from the beginning of the season to where they are now. And obviously the quarterback accuracy has gotten better since JT Daniels has gotten in the game. But again, that's a small sample size. He was not quite as sharp against South Carolina as he was against Mississippi State. So we'll have to see if that can continue. Some of that's also healthier receivers. When George Pickens was out in the middle of the season, it changed everything about the offense. But just because the focal point was no longer, you know, on the field during those games, that Georgia struggled a little bit more. You know, one of the things I came away with was a greater appreciation for Jake Camarda. I said, if you're looking at team MVPs, he's got to be among the first names in there. He's the best punter in the country. He started doing kickoffs halfway through the season, and he's the holder on field goals and extra points. And he does all those three jobs very well, and they're all very distinct of each other. So that was the greatest thing that I came away with kind of analyzing where Georgia was, because there's been a lot of shifting pieces. Jake Camarda is not one of them.
Yeah, very true. When you look at Georgia and Missouri, I go back to the coach saying Georgia can't beat themselves, and that's kind of been the feeling that to me, when I go back to the Florida game, I don't feel that Florida – beat Georgia. I think Georgia beat itself. Couldn't complete passes, had guys open, missed tackles, stuff like that. On paper, Jake, this should not be that big of a contest. You cover recruiting, you know how often Missouri comes to Georgia trying to get a kid. When I go down that Missouri depth chart, I don't see a lot of guys that should be playing at Georgia. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's completely fair. In fact, I'm getting ready to pull up the roster right now as you were saying that, just to see if I could go down. Enos Rakestraw was a kid Georgia poked around on a little bit. I think it's going to be a minute before I find you another one here. I mean, it's just the talent difference is significant. I mean, they don't have the same recruiting base that Georgia does. They don't have the ability to kind of come into Georgia like some of these other teams do, Alabama's, Clemson's, you know, even the LSU's and such like that. They're in a tough place to recruit. I mean, it's just not a talent-rich state. They're close to Arkansas, not a talent-rich state. You've got the Texas schools knocking on your door all the time. Oklahoma's knocking on the door. So they've got a ton of competition when it comes to keeping guys in state. From a pure talent standpoint, it's a very wide, gap between the two. And you have to think, too, I think that there's probably a degree of it where, you know, Georgia, well, both teams, I mean, have had this advantage, but I think it probably benefits Georgia given the talent advantage where they've started preparing for Missouri once already. So there's been some extra time kind of put into this game already. I think that that benefits Georgia. I think that overall it's probably going to be a tough day for the Tigers. But certainly it's a good game for Georgia to get out there, get the experience again, continue to develop the rapport between these receivers and this quarterback, and really just kind of flesh everything up for next year. Because after that Vanderbilt game, and then I think probably I agree with Coach, who knows what's going to happen next week. Well, I feel like I got a feeling on what's going to happen next week, but I think that I think they need the extra game. I think it's good for all parties involved.
Remember too, though, guys, that Trey Hill's not playing in this game. We broke that news last week that he had surgery on both knees. And so new starting center for Georgia. And that's always a big deal, especially with a quarterback that's still kind of getting the feet under him in the system.
Yeah. Coach, how much will that affect this game, having a new center in there, especially in, like I said, it could be rather cold? And I don't really worry so much about the cold. I mean, you can glove up and stuff like that, but just being on the road again, should that matter at all? Or will Erickson or Cedric Van Pran just step right in and we won't notice a difference?
Certainly replacing your center is a huge deal, and particularly a guy that's been as effective as Trey Hill has for us at center the last 2 years, making the calls, being the hub of the offensive attack. He has had some issues on some snaps, but, you know, when you snap the ball that many times, sometimes you're going to have that. But I think just the cadence involved, the rhythm of the plays, you know, Erickson's had some – you know, had a chance to play and start in some games. He started in the Sugar Bowl. He's got a little bit more experience, and I would think they'd probably go with him, although Van Pran is a very talented guy. The thing we got to be careful about here in assessing this talent thing is that this Missouri team thinks they're a lot better than they are. They really wanted to be a good team that was up in the air with a new coach and all. You got a buy-in, you got all that stuff. But all of a sudden, they've won five of their last six. They're a lot more confident team that's got a quarterback that I would say is as effective in his system as JT Daniels is in ours, from the standpoint he can throw the ball, he can RPO, he can also do a good job of running the ball if he gets in trouble and getting out of bad situations, which has been a problem for JT until he gets his leg. So I would say quarterback is going to be a situation where we're going to have to defend probably the best quarterback we played against since Trask. You know, I mean, we didn't have to go against much at Kentucky, South Carolina. Doty was okay. But, I just think that we got to be careful. This Missouri offense can run and throw the ball effectively, and they got a big line. And I go back to that Kentucky game when we couldn't get the ball away from Kentucky the whole second quarter. You know, they kept the ball away from us. And I'm not being a prophet of doom. I'm just being realistic.
No, honest. Yeah.
We should win this game. But we couldn't get Kentucky off the field on that long march. And we saw Kentucky have the same problem with Missouri. That was the game where Missouri kept the ball away from them the whole game. So we got to be really good on third down. We can't give up stupid penalties on pass interference, and we can't worry about just absolutely trying to just go out there and stymie this team. They're going to make some yards on us. They're going to make some plays. We just got to get them off the field. As long as we get plenty of shots at them, we get seven or eight possessions. I mean, five or six possessions a half, we'll be in good shape. But all of a sudden, we end up with three possessions in the first half and four possessions in the second half. This game's going to be a little bit more of a nail biter than I want it to be. So we got to get them off the field. That's number one. And then number two, make the plays that are there. You know, I think we're going to have some good guys coming back off of injury. Maybe Milton will get in there. I heard he had a good week of practice last week. McIntosh is coming on strong. So we got the ability to throw and catch the ball, and it should be a win, but it's not going to be one of those hunky-dory things like we saw at South Carolina.
Well, that would tie into what I asked Kirby Smart yesterday. I said, look, with the Missouri game and the Vanderbilt game, now that you are mathematically out of it for the SEC East title, do you maybe try a few more things that you wouldn't normally when you were, and it's not to say that the games matter less, but, you know, do maybe you use these last three games, you know, the two regular season games and the bowl game, as tryouts or experimentation time? Do you try some different things that you didn't want to do earlier in the year? And he's like, no, absolutely not. We got to win this game. And I'm like, okay. He's like, now's not the time to experiment. And we don't move players around just to, you know, whoever wins it and the during the week wins the game. Plus, you know, you want to win these games for your seniors. And I thought that maybe he just didn't want to say it. You know, I shouldn't say I doubted him, but I'm just like, wow, I'd expect you to maybe try a little bit more. But no, and that makes a lot more sense, Coach, when you say that, look, this is a dangerous team. And, you know, a win is not an easy win is not assumed. Whereas maybe you thought earlier in the year when Missouri lost a couple games, you're like, oh, yeah, it's Missouri, you know, and then you got them, yeah.
Well, here's the point. Here's the point I would make that everybody needs to understand. And I thought that was a good piece that Dane and Brent put out there. We're still trying to, you know, as far as experimenting, we're still trying to establish some identity. I mean, we were a passing team a week before. This last week, we were predominantly running team. We don't have a lot of meat and potatoes both ways where we've done both exceptionally well in a game. So I think just the idea of being the play caller, which I did for a long time, you know what your guys can do now, and you got Pickens back there to help you, you know, as a go-to guy all the time. So now you're not starving for first downs. You're not worrying about, hey, are we going to be able to move? It's just a case of getting in the flow and taking advantage of your strengths as a football team. But every time it looks like we got everything really going good, then your dang center gets hurt. So that's something that we got to be, you know, you just don't snap your fingers and put a guy in there and things go really great as far as communication, snaps, everything. So it wouldn't be right for us to have everything just perfect there and have everything just laid out. So we got to have a little stress. Plus, we're playing 11 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up early. And, you know, we're going to watch it at 12, but it's going to be 11 out there. I know when we used to have to play those 11 o'clock games when I was in the Big 12, it was like beating farts out of a dead mule. I mean, it was so hard to get your guys ready. That's probably something I shouldn't have said, excuse me, but I'm just telling you, it was hard to get ready and get up team going. 11 o'clock game. I mean, Switzer used to like the 11 o'clock games because he could stay in there and watch the 12 o'clock game on that was happening back in the East Coast, and then he would come out to warm ups a little bit right before the game and shake hands with the other guy, and he would be telling me about he was watching Georgia play Tennessee or something like that, and we were getting ready to play Kansas or Kansas State, and he could have cared less. So it's a good deal there.
I think Spurrier liked those noon kickoffs, so he could play nine holes in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Jake, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, the importance of this game, you know, given what we think is probably going to happen next week, fingers crossed it doesn't, but the likelihood I think is trending that Vanderbilt probably isn't going to be played or won't play again maybe this season. I think that it's important to finish it's certainly important to finish the year off with a win against a team that fans feel like you should beat. And it's going to be a long time before, I mean, bowl season, I think is everyone's hopeful for it, but you know, who knows what's going to happen between now and then, what changes between now and then. So it's possible that you get a long layoff after this game. And that would be a really nasty taste to leave in folks' mouth to lose to Missouri.
Yeah, I think that's something all of us got to be ready for with this COVID outbreak getting even more and more serious here. I could see some of these bowls. We keep hearing about these games going down and getting canceled and all. I can see the number of teams that are eligible for bowls are going to be fighting for them because they're going to be continuous problems with the states that have these games, or do they want to have them? Is it worth it? I mean, you've had the season, you've had the TV money. I've heard some people like Bronco Mendenhall who at Virginia saying, hey, I don't, you know, they had a chance to play a game on the 19th and they said, we're not going to play another game. We're just going to finish up against Virginia Tech this weekend. And whether we go to a bowl is up in the air. I think you're going to see some teams turning down bowls just because of the COVID situation and the morale of your team having to go through all these stringent testing and everything they have to go through. I don't necessarily think that would happen in Georgia, but I also feel like the other point that the amount of opt-outs on these teams, particularly guys that have the pro opportunities, there's going to be a lot of teams that don't have the same team playing in a bowl game that they had, that they played with their last game. I just see a lot of guys opting out for these bowls.
That's a good point. If you are in the need to opt into a new vehicle, check out our friends at Athens Ford. They are doing a great sales job over there with their holiday deals. We mention these quite frequently, but I do want to say that I like the fact that when you go out there and you buy a new or used vehicle, that they will donate either a coat or a gift or something to the children in the area. They have a truck out there, a big red Ford F-150, full of toys, full of coats and things that they're giving to the boys and girls in the community here. They do this every year. I mention it every year because that's what they do. And they have this giant Christmas tree that has all these UGA themed ornaments on it. It's a giant tree with just covered in red and bows and bulldogs and power G's. It's a pretty cool thing to see. So if you get a chance, go out there, check it out. Good place to get a photo for your Christmas cards. You know, just say it. And, you know, the truck, you can see the truck full of toys and stuff for the local kids. What you get, the gift to you, is their built for the holiday sales event where they have like a 2020 Ford Fusion. I was driving behind one of these on my way here today. And, well, it was 2019, but the 2020 ones are now $8,000 off or 0% APR financing for 60 months. If you want a Ford Explorer, which I was driving, the 2020 is now $10,000 off or 0% APR financing for qualified buyers for 72 months. So you see, you can get like $8,000 off, $10,000 off for 5 years or 6 years or 7 years of 0% APR financing for qualified buyers. You get your choice of those. I know it's tough. A lot of places are having a hard time getting in enough trucks in because everybody's buying trucks. So they have the Ford F-150s out there. What are the F-150s? $13,000 off. You know, so even though they don't need to do that because people are buying them left and right, they're still going to take care of you with a $13,000 off your purchase of a new Ford F-150. I know they're selling 250s as fast as they can get them too. So if you want one of the Super Duties, go ahead and get your name on the list, put your deposit down because those are flying as out of the showroom as fast as they can get them. So check out our friends at Athens Ford. They're on Atlanta Highway, very close to where I'm sitting right now at Academia Brewing Company. You'd be there in a couple of Dave McMahon long drives and you'll be right down there. Also want to give a shout out to our friends at Your Pie. I know a lot of people had a ton of turkey recently. You want to try something else. So I recommend swinging by the local Your Pie, getting a custom pizza, a custom sandwich, or custom pasta. You know, you can have gelato. You can have, a lot of them have the local beers in stock, you know, so there's such a big part of the communities that they're in that they will get a lot of the local beers, local breweries to supply them. So you can actually have pizza and a beer. And it's not just your typical Miller Lite or anything like that. And there's nothing. Yeah, and they're just a phenomenal resource for the community because they all do these give back nights, you know, at many of the Your Pies. So when you get a chance, swing by there, try out their new kicking pepperoni sticks where they take these the pepperoni, they drizzle with the hot Mike's Hot Honey. Today is Tuesday. Every Tuesday they have double points wherein if you order on the app, you know, just go to your phone, pull up the Your Pie app. You will get double points. I know that I've done that a couple times and just got absolutely loaded with points. And I have tons of free pizzas, free breadsticks, free ice cream, gelato, all that stuff on my phone. And if you haven't tried that sweet heat pepper pasta, you need to try that. That's legit. So a big shout out to Athens Ford and Your Pie. So if you, I know a lot of people are, a lot of football players are opting out of the season, but you need to opt into both of those. Jake, we had some big news this morning, and that's one of the things that we're trying to catch up on. Georgia picked up a big recruit. Can you tell the folks about it who maybe had to actually work today?
Yeah, well, no shame if you actually slept in a little bit or were at work while this was going down. We tried to get the stream up and running from Newton County High School. Struggled with that a little bit, but huge pickup. No doubt. Gotta get the 5G out there in Covington. Big pickup though for Georgia, number 127 in the nation, nation's number 9 cornerback, number 9 player in the state of Georgia, a guy with 54 offers, and that's Nyland Green out of Newton County. 6'2", roughly, about 185, 190 pounds, what he's playing at right now. Just a great pickup for Georgia. This was one of those guys that they have been pursuing for the better part of a year plus now, have really, really kind of gone all in for this guy. Clemson really made a big push at one point. Felt like they were really, especially over the last month, going to be big impact makers there. Tennessee was a presumptive leader for several months as well. Auburn was heavily involved throughout. So this was one where Georgia, the competition was fierce. It wasn't like, you know, just because this kid's 30, 40 minutes from Athens that it was just a slam dunk for Georgia. They had to battle off some big names for him. And I will say, too, he's a different kind of cat. You know, Nyland is his own guy. He's a very, I would almost say quirky kind of person. He's just, I don't mean that in a negative way at all. He's just,
yeah, sure,
you know,
whatever.
He's quiet. He's reserved. He kind of goes about things his own way. You know, just not a guy who loves the media spotlight. You know, didn't do any interviews after the commitment was done. Just kind of ran away from the stage, and the principal said, "That's it. Everybody go home. He's not talking." So Patrick,
we had Patrick there. I mean, everyone's gonna run to that.
Yeah, Patrick tried to approach him in the parking lot after the after everything, and was shooed away by his family, who reassured that he was not going to do any interviews as well. So just a different guy. But you got to think, that's a personality that Kirby Smart loves. He doesn't want some kid who's going to be out here. There's no showboat to him. You know, he's a guy who gets the job done. I really like what I see from him on film. Dane and I were talking about this actually before the podcast started. You know, I think one of the things that you see a lot with these guys, these defensive backs, is so much film that's not them playing defensive back, because they're such good athletes. Those guys are those 6'1 to 6'3 guys. You know, they're fast, they're long, they're able to do so much. So they often end up playing a lot of wide receiver. They often end up playing on kick return teams. You know, I think that what I like about Nyland is his film is a lot of him playing cornerback. Some of that other stuff smattered in there, but there's a lot of him just going up, challenging guys, picking balls off, you know, just really making some impact plays on the defensive side of the ball. I think that that's a really good indicator of where he stands. I think he's a great player, obviously. I mean, listen, when you got Clemson, Jeremy Pruitt of Tennessee, and Georgia, all, you know, pretty much your three hottest pursuits, that's some of the best cornerback coaching you're going to find in America. And I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid. I think that he's a really, really special player and a really good gift for Georgia.
Yeah.
I'll add one nugget to this. The last time I actually was over in the facility was the day before spring break transpired, and we were having a indoor workout, you know, that supervised. It was just a case of guys doing their running and conditioning and all, no footballs involved. And at that point, Nylon and this Benton kid, who is a sophomore there at Newton High School in Covington, whose father played for Coach Goff here, were both visiting there. And I was talking to Benton's father, and then I was also looking at this kid, he was kind of shadowing Kirby, walking around. Kirby was pointing out, as most head coaches, you know, who these guys were and all that. But the guy was very attentive, and he looked very much at home as far as the athleticism walking around. He looked like a Georgia corner to me, from an old coach's perspective, you know. And then and Kirby introduced him to me, said, "Hey, this is my coach," and all that. But the whole point was this, that you just felt like at that point, of course, I've followed it throughout the whole recruiting process, you just felt like this guy was destined to Georgia. Just his attentiveness, the way he was moving around, the back and forth he had with Kirby, with Charlton Warren, all that stuff, you just can't gauge that anyway, but saying, man, this guy looks like he's a Georgia guy. Just like Benton, we got to hope, you know, he's only a sophomore, but you got to think he's going to be coming too. And I think year in and year out, you're just seeing more and more of those in-state guys. They're getting that vibe of, hey, this is where it's happening. This guy's making it happen here. And our in-state class, you know, people talk about losing Carter and losing a couple guys, but look at all the guys we got. I mean, the impetus here is really unbelievable to me. So, and people accuse me of being a homer and talking about stuff. I try to tell you like it is, but I'm just going to tell you this. Kirby's impact with the high school coaches, with the ex-players that used to play with him, with the alums, is astronomical as far as what they feel about this program. And it's just going to continue to get better. Now, you're going to talk about losses we had, and we certainly had them, but I just think our stockpile of talent is going to start keep on going. And you look at 2022 right now, we're off the radar right now. I mean, getting Wes last week, getting these guys, I mean, they're standing in line wanting to come here. Biggest decision he's got to make is who to take. So, if you want to get on this Georgia train, you better get on it now, because people have had their chance to get a little bit of our butt this year, and they got it. But
that's a good point, Coach. I mean, you look at getting West. You look at the fact you picked up Brandon Griff. You know, you pick up Brock. You pick up Amarius Mims. We just had a list of the guys who were supposed to go ahead and sign early next week. Jake put up a long list of the guys, you know, who are committed, who said, yeah, I'm signing next week. Doesn't matter that they haven't had that official visit yet. And it's pretty impressive, but you're starting to be able to pick those big name guys in state, and getting Nylan Green's a huge deal. I don't think people realize how big a deal it is yet. I do like the fact that when he put out his commitment video, he highlighted a bunch of players from Newton County. You know, it wasn't all about him. So as Jake said, you know, a little quirky. I thought it was a little selfless. Now he did, you know, at the end it was, you know, him and his family standing in front of Sanford Stadium. But it was just a great video where he's like, look, you know, here's Ashton Hagans, here's you know, Kurt Taylor, here's a bunch of guys that, you know, trailblazed for me. Now it's my turn. And I thought that was a nice touch. And we were watching a Periscope. One of the family members had a phone right in front of Nylan this morning before he went and did his announcement. And you could hear him talking to his mom and talking to his grandma and people coming up and congratulating him on his big announcement coming. The interactions there, you fall in love with this kid because he's very bright. He's quite funny. The jokes about the family and the jokes that he was having with his teammates stuff were you just like where this kid's head's at, you know. And
two key factors in this recruitment. You mentioned those in-state guys and those Newton County guys. I'll tell you one guy that was a huge player in this decision, and that was Eric Stokes, who's from right there in Covington as well. That's a guy who he has gotten to know. He's watched how he's flourished at Georgia. He's watched how he's developed at Georgia. I think that was a big motivator. And also, Coach mentioned him shadowing Kirby Smart. Listen, this is no small deal that Kirby Smart played defensive back at the University of Georgia. He said, I'm going to be coached by the guy who used to be back where I'm going to be. I mean, that's something that really appealed to him. So two really key factors there, both of them, hey, in-state guys. And I think the coach is definitely onto something there. We haven't even touched on the 2022 stuff. We probably should, because we picked up there were two big commitments last week, including Darius Smith, who just shocked the damn world. But the in-state role is really strong right now. I think you have to feel good about what Georgia's doing in-state. 2022, they're all in-state right now. I think they got five kids. They're all in-state. They're off to a crazy start. So you got to feel good about what
it's been. It's been like one big commit per week in this 2021 class. Go back to like a Marist. It's like each week there's one more. And for a while, we go back a few weeks or a few months ago, and it was like, recruiting's dead. Well, other than, you know, a Marist Mims commitment, you know, then other than Nylan Green's commitment, there's not a whole lot going on. But each week, it seems that, you know, come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes late in the week.
Yeah, we get Edwards and Smith. They can play the school song.
They've done a great job of keeping themselves in the recruiting headlines. I'll say that for sure, Ronnie. I think that's
I'm not saying they planned it that way, or, you know, that it's dedicated that way, but it just seems that each one of Georgia's targets has, you know, they'll set an announcement date weeks ahead of time, and it's almost been once a week, you know. In other words, at one point it seemed like Georgia was sitting at 12, 13 commits forever, you know, and we were looking at them in the rankings, noting that they had a lot fewer commits than everybody else higher than them in the rankings. And now Georgia's up to what, 20? You know,
Yeah, 20. That's 20 today.
But you're at 20.
You're ranked third too, aren't we?
I believe so. You're knocking on the door, if not.
Yeah, and again, that's, you still got a few spots left. You're in it with Mason Smith, the number one prospect in the country. You had some a nice little update on him on the vault. Be sure, folks, when you get a chance, swing by the vault at ugasports.com. That's where we have all our recruiting news. Where are we at, Jake, in the rankings?
Number five. Georgia currently number five in the team recruiting rankings, 20 commits. Let me see here. I think my guess is that they are – yes, they – Alabama has 22, Oregon has 21, Ohio State, LSU, and Georgia all have 20 currently. So
now you're at least you have the, because Georgia, I mean, the way the rivals rankings work, you count the first 20. So now all of a sudden you've still got some very highly ranked guys who are still in the running. Like I said, you had your note about Mason Smith over there, number one player in the country, number one defensive tackle, five-star guy. If Georgia's able to somehow miraculously get him, you know, you bring in a guy like that, you bring in Edwards, as Coach Johnson says, the running back, all of a sudden now you drop out a three-star or a lower four-star and you put in one of these five-stars and the rankings shoot up. But again, it's not all about rankings. It's just the point that it's been a slow, steady build up to early signing day next week. And Georgia's, you got to like where they are right now.
And I think in a lot of ways, you're not looking at guys that are just like building toward the future. I think these are early playmakers. I mean, Nylon Green is a guy that, you know, in the case that Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes and DJ Daniels all decide to take their, you know, their game to the NFL, or at least try to, there's going to be a spot back there for one of these young guys. And why not? I mean, that's a spot that you see freshmen play pretty regularly in college football. I think the same thing with the running backs. If Edwards comes to Georgia, he'll play some next year, especially if Zamir White and James Cook go pro.
Yeah, absolutely. And Roddy, to your point also on the rankings, should be noted, and this is one of those that I've begun to tune into a little bit more as well. Average star ranking, Georgia tied for second in the nation, 3.9 average star rating, almost a four on each of their commits. Alabama, the only team with a higher ranking than that, 3.95. So separated by 0.05% on a
I think that's a much, and again, not just because Georgia ranks higher that way, but I think that is a one of the more accurate ways to assess where does your class stack up. You know, what is the average star rating? What if you only sign 19 kids, you know, and Rivals counts 20, and all of a sudden you're like, well, we're eighth in the rankings. Well, yeah, because you're one short. It's almost like having a zero in your grading. You know, it's going to drop your average down. But if you're doing it by average star ranking, and you look at the And to Dane's point, go back to last year about guys who can make an impact. And Coach Donna's talking about, hey, Georgia's did lose some games, but the future is bright. I've made this point before. We still haven't seen, you know, a bunch of five stars that Georgia signed last year. We haven't, you know, if you
Keely Ringo.
You haven't seen Keely Ringo. You haven't seen Broderick, Tate Ratledge. You haven't seen Cedric Van Pran a whole lot. You know, there's Blasky Lindbergh, Devin Willett. All on the offensive line, you know, we haven't seen what Darren Branch can do. We haven't seen what Jalen Kimber can do. We haven't seen Robinson, the wide receiver. You finally got to see the wide receiver that got injured in the Florida game, Rosemary Jack Saint. The previous week, not having a really good game. Then against Florida, he looks fantastic, catches a touchdown pass, biggest hurt. It's like, I know folks don't want to hear future, but Georgia's future looks damn bright, and the recruiting rankings and the recruiting stats are showing that.
Yep.
Or am I just being overly optimistic again?
No, no question.
Because I'm around a lot of beer.
No, although that would make me overly optimistic as well. No, I think you're spot on with that. I think that that's a great point. I think that overall, you know, that's a huge thing. And one of the things that I've tried to really hammer home for people in this, you know, moving forward into signing day, you know, we're talking about Mason Smith. We're talking about Donovan Edwards. Terrion Arnold out of Florida is a guy to watch. And that's going into February. He's a guy who won't decide until then. So they got a while to continue to recruit him. But watch the grad transfer market. And not just the grad transfer market, but the underclassmen transfer market as well. I think you'll see Georgia, as well as everybody else, just be super active in that regard. I think that, Dane, you mentioned, you know, the possibility of some open spots back there. Hey, go out and get an experienced guy who's done it, who's played some real snaps and played some games. I think that they've got a real opportunity there. And, you know, speaking of transfers and such.
Yeah, well, let's talk about transfers. Before we talk about possible transfers, in and out, we'll mention that and George is actually going to get a couple guys going into the portal, and they've got a couple guys that maybe they can get out of the portal. But I do want to mention our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. Speaking of portals, the portal is the doorway to your home. So if you need a giant portal, the size of a garage door, check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors with their expanded service area. And simply because they advertise with UGASports.com, that's why they've been able to expand it. We are the reason for their success. But now they're now covering all of Gwinnett, Cobb, DeKalb. They're in Barrow, they're in Stevens County, they're in Habersham, they're in Dawson, they're in Hall, they're in North Fulton, Jackson, Forsyth, White, Coney, Clark, Cherokee, and Walton. They are all over the place, and they are just doing tons and tons of good deeds for the people in those areas, because if you keep look at their ratings, their, you know, their Yelp reviews, their all the reviews they have, 5 stars across the board. I mean, you when you look at the we talk about the average star rankings for the recruits that, that Georgia's getting, if you could get these, you know, 4.97 ratings that Aaron over at Doors is getting, then you're a champion in my book. They again, like I said, they do some charity stuff this time of year, but what they're doing for people and their satisfaction is just through the roof. Plus, you know, you let them know that you're a Georgia fan, you get a discount. Just saying. So let them know that you're a Georgia fan, and the folks Ryan Lucia and our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors will take great care of you. I've had tons of people reach out to me and say, hey, I had them come out and they replaced a panel on my door. They fixed my the little button in my car never worked, you know, and I had to have a big clunky garage door opener. They came out and set that up. We had one guy had really bad water damage on his door, and they actually fixed it pretty quick because he had either somebody was coming over or something was going on there, but he said he needed it fast and they did it really quickly. And he was very impressed with how from his first call to the final call when they left, how quickly that was done. So shout out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. And I want to mention something about I'm sitting here at Academia Brewing Company. I mentioned the beer that's going on behind me. They did can a ton of their sour frosty beer. This is a it's a beer released and a gift drive. And they started it last week. They're teamed up with ESP. For folks in the Athens area of the Clark County, you know ESP, our friends at Extra Special People. And they have their famous Sour Frosty. It's a cranberry, orange zest, and cinnamon Berliner Weiss beer. A portion of the proceeds from that will be donated to ESP Inc. at the end of the month. And the art on the cans was donated to Academia by ESP. They had a bunch of different Christmas drawings, and they settled on one they liked. That is the artwork on the beer. So when you get a chance, come by here. When you first walk in the door at Academia, open up, look to your right, open up the giant cooler. There's tons of beer in there. Grab the Sour Frosty. It is a fantastic beer. And if you want to try their chocolate beer, their coffee beer, they have those here. And speaking of their coffee beer, Academia just won a huge award for their coffee beer. So a point being that this is an award-winning brewery with fantastic food and fantastic service. So trying to keep up with the service folks over at Aaron Overhead Doors. Let's get to the hot topic of the day, fellas. Rumors started popping up about 9 o'clock last night, and 8-9 pages later on the dog event, we're told that Arik Gilbert at LSU, the top tight end in the nation, was a year ago, Jake, decided, yes. It sounds like he is looking around. It looks like he might be in the portal before the week's over. A lot of people are like, well, he's homesick. So therefore everyone put two and two together, figured, well, he's got to be coming back to Georgia. And I put a note on the board as in what we're hearing. And I've said, look, we've heard that he is going to put his name in the portal. When he does, Georgia would be able to contact him. Can't do it beforehand, but once he does, Georgia can contact him. And Kirby Smart keeps those relationships open. He did this with Demetrius Robertson. When Demetrius went to Cal, Kirby's like, hey, if you ever get tired of it, you can always come back home. I'm sure they said the same thing when Arik Gilbert decided to go to LSU. So, Coach, what are your thoughts on the fact that Georgia might be in the running for Arik Gilbert?
Well, you don't know what happened at the end last year. That's true. It was I know we had Dale McGee on him hard. I mean, he's from Marietta, and that's his school, and I felt like we had a good shot. But he ended up going there with LSU. The guy that recruited him ended up going to the NFL as the coordinator for the Panthers. And the other guy that recruited him went to Old Dominion as a position coach. He was a part-time guy there that helped him. So, I mean, he's got two guys that aren't there that recruited him. So, they've had a tough year down there any way you look at it. I mean, he's caught 35 passes, but, you know, they just hadn't been near successful, particularly on defense. So, you know, there'll be a lot of back and forth and banter on where he might go. And, I think the biggest thing for him, if he's homesick, he's got to look at you know, staying close to home. And where will that be? Hopefully it's us. I don't know if he's going to look at Tech. I mean, Tech's throwing the ball a lot. You know, they're not winning, but, you know, we aren't
exactly not winning at LSU either. So
we aren't exactly lighting it up to the tight end as far as throwing the ball to them either. So I'm sure they'll use that against us. But, you know, this would be the place for him to come for sure as far as playing, being surrounded with other good players and winning and, you know, playing with his friends. So we'll have to see. But, you know, you hate any time when a guy gets in the transfer portal. You know, he made a commitment to LSU, and he, you know, you hate for him to leave for any kid. I mean, but from our standpoint, I don't think it's a given he's going to come to Georgia, though. I mean, just based on the fact we didn't sign him last year. I mean, I hope it's true, but we'll have to see. I mean, we got a pretty good tight end room for sure coming back. That's going to be something to look at, too, probably.
Arik Gilbert, as you said, coach, had 35 receptions. He's tied for third in the nation for the most receptions by a true freshman. He's tied for sixth in the nation for the most receptions by a tight end from any class. The last UGA tight end to lead the team in receptions was Leonard Pope, 2005. So,
what do you have, 10?
these are all stats from my boy Dave McMahon here. He's putting this stuff in front of me.
How many did Leonard have?
Dave will find.
39,
coach. So
career or one season?
For the year. So
good.
Yeah. So but right now Georgia's tight ends, Darnell Washington has two catches, John Fitzpatrick has six, Brett Seether has one, and Trey McKitty has six, so a total of 14. It is Todd Monken's first year. We don't know how things will change out. They've been working with the offensive line. I don't know what they will say to Arik Gilbert, but I never got the sense that he was anti-UGA. And if he's homesick, you know, maybe Georgia Tech's nearby school would be enough for him. Jake, give me your kind of thoughts on, I mean, I know you talked about what a game changer Arik Gilbert could be.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, the kid's a freak. I think that we got to see that in some spurts at LSU this year. Actually, you were talking about what they're going to say to him. I pulled up an article we did with him last October where he recapped his official visit. He said, they told me how bad they need me, how I can fit into the offense. They haven't really had a receiving tight end they can rely on yet. And they said if I came in, it would open up the offense a lot. So a pretty clear message that they sent him. Also mentioned –
Hey, Coley talking to him?
No, that was Todd Hartley, actually.
I mean, this is October, though, right? We didn't have the coordinator switch.
That's true. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Max, get out of here with that.
He also mentions, though, too, and I think that this may be something that people forget, Aziz Ojulari, a Marietta kid. Jermaine Burton spent time at Marietta as well. They know each other very well. Took that kind of last minute trip to LSU together there at the end of the cycle last year. And he says, even at the end of this, which I thought was interesting, he said, it's probably just whatever I feel will be best for me. But what's different about Georgia is that it's home. And
hey, it worked for Nyland Green.
There you go. So, you know, I think that that's a huge, if Georgia can pull that off, no doubt about it, impact maker. If you can't get that kid and Darnell Washington involved in the offense, start taking more receivers and forget recruiting tight ends, because that's as good as they come.
Weren't they 1-2 in the tight end rankings?
I think Theo Johnson might have overcome.
How did he do
Did he
do anything at Penn State this year?
I haven't heard anything out of Theo this year, to be honest.
But that kid from Georgia's done pretty well at Notre Dame as a tight end. What's his name? Tommy Trimble.
Yeah, Tommy Trimble. He's played quite well for them. Let's see here. It was. Number one and number two last year were Arik Gilbert and Darnell Washington. So it'd be nice to retroactively get them back together.
Coach, Theo has two catches on the year.
For 14 yards.
So tied with Darnell with two receptions there. So, but again, you know, it's their freshman year, so who knows what can come from that. But I know that a lot of people get really excited about the fact of, you know, trying to get in Arik in. you should be. He is an absolute game changer. And Georgia has shown that there have been times they've gone to the tight end. You know, there are 14 passes. But I think when you have a guy like that who is just I don't like to use the term uncoverable, but he gets open. And he's so far open.
Let's use that term.
He's so close to being a wide receiver, tight end, that he just presents in so many different – almost like a Kyle Trask look-alike as far as – although he's a lot more physically imposing as far as his upper body. But, you know, you see what Trask does. Pitts does as I don't know why I would say Kyle Pitts look-alike, you know, 84. You know, the guy that just gets out there on the edge and does so many things lined up in the slot. And you just gives you a lot of ways to really function your offense. I mean, if you could have him in there at the same time with Burton boy, I'm just telling you. And then out at the edge there, George Pickens, I mean, and just a lot of different players, man.
Can we take a step back and just realize how crazy this is from like a program and roster management standpoint? The fact that, all right, Georgia got a new recruit today. There are guys that are looking at doing the transfer market right now. So Georgia's probably doing some of that, you know, conversation. You're getting that 2022 class going like Georgia is. Oh, and at the same time, there's a football game this weekend and the schedule's gone later than it ever has. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous what is going on just from a time management standpoint and the amount of tasks that just get lodged up on top of each other. And God bless these schools that are doing coaching searches. Because, I mean, it's got to feel like what Kirby Smart did when he ran two jobs at one time when he first got to Georgia.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the fact that there's, you know, two Georgia wide receivers are going to be, you know, by then, they're not in the transfer portal. They will be later on in Trey Blunt and Micaiah Tongue. Normally, in the offseason, that would probably be our number one topic. We really haven't mentioned it. We haven't talked about Shane Beamer taking over the job at South Carolina, a puzzling hire. For me, I hope he works out. I hope he's for South Carolina fans. I hope he's the next Dabo, you know, young guy that they're taking a chance on. I hope he's really successful for him. I like the guy.
You're not playing to your audience by hoping that guy.
No,
is
just, I hope he does Dabo well. I hope all the coaches do well. You know? I mean, that's not to say I want George to lose.
I was going to ask the recruiting guru here. I mean, just a couple of rhetorical questions here. Is Georgia one of the top places in the country that you ought to be able to sign a player as an assistant coach?
Yeah, no question about it.
How many did Shane sign here?
I believe that was zero.
Three recruiting cycles. He didn't sign a guy, did he?
I don't believe he did. No, he was.
I do not remember any coach.
How did Kirby feel about that, I wonder?
Probably bad, but probably great now.
I like Shane, but I don't think I've ever been around any coach that never signed a guy.
It probably seemed like a big disappointment at the time.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was awesome.
Quite thankful for it in retrospect.
You're wrong for that, Jake.
Based on what South Carolina's talking about, though, he signed every player that South Carolina ever had.
I mean, it's good. Listen, it's going to be. South Carolina has to show some patience here because what's going to happen with this year's recruiting class, I mean, it's already fallen apart. They're really struggling in that regard. They're probably going to lose several guys to opt-outs, transfers, moving on, whatever. I think that there's a big mass of that coming. You know, for them, they've got to be focused toward building the future. Personally, if I'm Shane Beamer, number one priority is to keep Gunnar Stockton locked in because you're going to be able to build a 2022 class around that. I think that 21 class is it's going to be a salvage effort at this point. So keep Connor Shaw around. That'll help your chances there a lot with that. And, you know, maybe even Mike Bobo. We'll see about that. But I think that you've got an opportunity there to you've got to start looking toward the future because I don't know that it's salvageable at this point on 21.
I think his coordinator hires will actually be more interesting than the head coach hire. And that's not a shot against Shane Beamer. I just think that I don't know what to expect from Shane Beamer as a head coach, but there are some of the names being bandied about as coordinator hires that will make or break his success there. to me, it's unquestionable. So that's why, from an interest standpoint, I'm thinking, you know, are you keeping Mike Bobo as an offensive coordinator? That would be huge if you could, you know, some of the defensive names are out there. And again, to get back to the point, there's so much we get to, this could be a 4-hour show, and I don't know that we have the time because there's food behind me. I do want to point out
wait for next week's when we're a day out of early signing day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I think we need to have that show maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, we do.
So we can really reflect on who we signed instead of saying who we might sign.
Good by me.
Yeah, I think we'll do it, set it up for late Wednesday afternoon, because on your schedule that Jake posted on the vault, they had a lot of guys who were supposed to send in their LOIs at noon. So I don't want to be doing the show at the same time we have letters of intent coming in. I do want to give a shout out to our friends at Masada Leather. It is the holiday season. If you are a good person and you have friends, then you probably need to get gifts for your friends and family. If you're like Jake and you don't need anything, don't worry about it. You know, you're fine. But the rest of us actually have to get some good gifts. And I was in Masada a couple weeks ago, and I noticed that, you know, we talk about the belts they have, you know, the custom belts, handmade. They also had wallets, you know, if you don't know what to get somebody, a fantastic wallet would be very nice for, you know, something for dad when you never know what to get him. They had jackets, leather jackets look fantastic. They had, shoulder bags, briefcases, you know, all stuff you won't find anywhere else. Leather bracelets, jewelry, vest, hats, they had socks. And I like the holiday belts, the ones with like the holly on them and all the different holiday scenes that are actually impressed into the leather. It would be your holiday belt. You'd have it for 100 years, you know, and everyone would know it's the holidays when you came out in your holly belt or your reindeer belt or whatever it is. So point being, check out our friends at Masada Leather. They're in Five Points. They're between the Royal Peasant and Earth Fair. Great place to pop into. And it always smells so good in there. It's just a great little shop. And our friend Irv, we actually had some folks come in from out of town. They heard about them on the show, and they went by and got their gifts. So shout out to the folks who are already shopping in Masada and everyone who's been shopping there for the Birkenstocks and their custom sandals since the 70s. So Masada Leather is an Athens institution and a South Georgia institution that we don't talk about enough. It's our friends down at DR Construction Maintenance, Ronnie Brown and the folks down there. I know it's cold, but they will still be out taking care of folks in Liberty County, Long County, and Bryan counties. They will, especially if you have something that needs to be fixed, it's cold, and you got the drafts coming in, you got some maintenance needs to be done, stuff like that. Check out our friends at DR Construction Maintenance, Ronnie Brown, good friend of the show, always has good questions. And Jake, speaking of, let's go a little long here, guys, but let's do this quickly. Let's try to hit up some of these questions. Jake, if you just want to ask them and just have one person try to – or, hell, make Coach Donovan answer from all. That's all anybody really wants to hear from.
Well, luckily so we –
actually try to burn through some of those.
Luckily we managed to get through a lot of them today in one way or the other. So I'm actually pretty proud of us. We happened to luck into that. We backed into
some – you can at least shout out who turned them in. You know.
This one I liked from Kay Leland over to Don, and he says, Coach, what are some of the keys to slowing down a Missouri offense that's become more potent in recent weeks?
Yeah, I'd say first down. You know, they're a team that runs and passes equally well, and they're going to run those RPOs on us where, you know, look at the box and see what we'll do and try to throw the ball in behind our backers. So we've got to do a good job of getting them behind the sticks, get second and 10, second and 8. And we got to tackle better. We miss a lot of tackles. I know Kirby talked about our tackling against South Carolina. And this Roundtree guy is a very elusive guy that runs hard. And so we got to get him down when you got a chance for a negative play or just 1 or 2 yard gain. And then play the ball in the air. I mean, you know, when you got a chance to make a play, play the ball in the air. But they're a team that presents a very good challenge, a true spread team that's quarterbacks playing. You know, they're very similar to, say, Auburn, but their quarterback's a lot more consistent than what Bo Nix has been. So I think we got our hands full, but they're going to have a hard time stopping us too.
Roddy, let me throw this one to you. ASU Dog over on the vault or the vent at UGASports.com. He says, hey, you heard anything about BJ Ojulari over there at LSU as well? I know that was a name that was kicked around a little bit as well last night.
I did mention this in the what we were hearing. BJ is actually one of the first names we heard might put his name in the transfer portal. You know, that's kind of up in the air. I'm not going to say one way or the other whether or not I expect it to happen. I just haven't really heard enough. But what I did hear was that I do not expect him, if he were to put his name in the portal, that for him to wind up at Georgia. That's not a shot against Georgia. It's not a shot against BJ. It's just, you know, he had the chance to play with his brother, and I think he wants to go out and make his name somewhere else. I just don't think that Georgia would be a destination for him at this moment.
Okay. Dane, I got one for you. What kind of odds, this one from Road Dog 89, what kind of odds do you think James Cook and Zeus have on declaring for the draft after this season?
Ooh, good question.
I expect both of them to, but that's more of a commentary on the running back position in the NFL more than it is, you know, what they have done at Georgia or what they can do at Georgia. There's just so much, and you know, it's a different timeline for running backs at this point for their careers in the NFL. So that clock's a ticking. You saw Elijah Holyfield do it and go undrafted, but he found a spot. So, you know, I think both those guys have a good shot in the NFL, and especially a guy like Zeus with his injury history. You got to go make money while you can, man.
All right, I got one last one here. I'm going to kick this one to Coach because maybe he's got the inside scoop on this, or maybe you could just give us your opinion on what you might do in this situation. Coach Nate Doggy Dog 401, he says, any plans to honor seniors if Vandy can't make the trip on 12/19?
I'm sure there's some kind of contingency plan. Maybe a halftime of a basketball game would be a good way to do That's it good, because yeah. you have an event. So, They'll definitely do that, and maybe if we do have a spring game, they could do it there at the G-Day game. But that, I know Kirby is really that was among the many reasons that he was mad last week. The most important one was the fact that the senior day to a coach, we've talked about it, to a coach, to a player, it's just a very special honorarium type thing that you need to have and need to have some semblance of it if you get knocked off. I know A&M got knocked off with theirs this week because they were supposed to play Ole Miss at home. And, you know, I heard Jimbo Fisher saying, hey, these guys are not going to get to go out on Kyle Field again. And, I mean, that means a lot to those kids. So I think they'll have some kind of contingency deal for sure.
I hope they give them at least something virtual. Maybe they do a live stream or something, but give them definitely. And like you said, I do fully expect that they're going to have an opportunity to honor those guys.
Parents, all right. The parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrapping it up here this week, guys. Last topic of the day. We've got, as always, your mouthwatering player this week. I don't think that any of us assume that Georgia's going to lose this one, but who do you think looks real good this week? I'm going to go first this week because I'm going to say Darnell Washington. I think that Georgia goes to the tight ends real heavy early on. I think
37 times.
I see JT Daniel just relying on him. Maybe you run a jet sweep with Darnell Washington. I mean, just get him involved in any way possible. I saw him play defensive end in high school. Maybe you put him out there. I don't know. But if you want to make an impression on a certain tight end that you may be trying to woo, I would go with Darnell Washington. Dane, who you got this week?
You know, I'm looking at guys that need some really good tape for what's coming in their next steps. I'm looking at a guy like Jermaine Johnson, who's come back and played really well the last few weeks. He's my mouth-watering player of the week.
All right, Roddy, who you got this week, buddy?
James Cook.
Back on the James Cook train, only 1 week off. I see.
You better Trey McKinney, because if you're gonna pick Darnell, I'm gonna pick Trey.
I like that. I like the senior guy too as well. Coach, mouthwater and player this week, who looks good against the Tigers?
I'm just gonna go the running three or four headed running back scheme there with you saw what Arkansas did running the ball on their back, got 176 yards last week. I would say our backs will flourish against these guys, and certainly our passing game should too. But looking forward to seeing how we play, and also looking forward to next week when we talk about another great signing day. I mean, just can't take for granted that no. Georgia is in the top three or four every year in recruiting. I mean, it's not luck. I mean, it's a reality. And sure, we're going to end up losing two games this year, which is not great. But the two teams we're losing to, probably one of them is going to be in a college playoff, and the other one is going to be in a major bowl. So, and you look at, go back to my first show here in August. I said, this is a rebuilding year on offense. Everybody got pissed at me. And it's pretty much reality. This was a rebuilding year on offense. And then our defense really didn't play anywhere near what we thought it would either. So, but from now on, I'd say Georgia's going to be in the hunt for a long time.
I agree. I want to give a big shout out to our friends here at Academia Brewing Company for letting us come in and take over their place. Just want to let folks know that if you were in the giving spirit or you were in the holiday spirit, swing by Academia and pick up one of these little tabs. They have a Christmas tree up there. It's a giving tree that's co-sponsored with ESP. And on the back of it, you will see a list of things that a family in the area needs. Like this family number 20 needs a youth extra large coat for a boy, a women's large coat, a men's extra large coat, and anything Minecraft related. So I'm going to grab a few of these. And there's some that are just very simple, like a $100 grocery gift card. There are a bunch of these tags on that Christmas tree here and this giving tree. Please swing by, grab one, buy the stuff on it and drop it off here. It would go a long way to making someone's Christmas very, very merry and bright. And we know that we have the folks in the Athens community who are willing to do this, as we've seen when they go out to Athens Ford and they buy vehicles out there and they fill up the truck with presents and coats and things for them. The folks here at Academia and ESP are trying to do the same thing for families in need. So if you would swing by the giving tree and grab one of these cards and take care of one of the families here, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Wanted to mention real quick on the giving tree as well. I saw yesterday, if you're interested in participating, but you're not in the Athens area, contact them via DM on Facebook. They'll send you a list and you can mail the stuff to them and they'll gladly distribute it. So if you want to get involved and make somebody's Christmas outside of Athens, feel free.
See, if you come by, you can grab all that beer, especially that sour. Well,
it's a win-win to go in. I really encourage you to do that.
Yeah, the beer is fantastic. So anyway, we got to go because the beer is behind me, and the longer we do the show, the longer it takes for me to get over there. So be sure to tune in this Thursday at you guys doing it at 1 o'clock, Dane?
Yep, that's the plan.
Thursday at 1 o'clock,
maybe 1:30.
In the afternoon.
So 1:30 or so, check in with Coach Dodd and Dade and Brent for Around the League when they talk about all the stuff that's going on in the SEC. It's always a fantastic show to listen to. I always check it out as I'm going for one of my walks. And then tune in Saturday at noon. We will have the watch-along show. So come join us as Coach Johnson calls the plays before they happen, and we get a lot of great insight as to what's actually going on in the field. It's the best way to watch the game. You basically bring it up on your laptop, your iPad, your phone, pause your TV for a few seconds, sync up Dane and Coach John and myself as we talk about the game in real time, and you will learn more than you ever wanted to know. Usually after each game, I have to go home and get out my football glossary, you know, to learn some of the stuff the coach taught me, you know, mark it off the list. Okay, this is what this means. This is what this means. You learn a lot from that show, and be sure to tune in this Saturday at noon as Georgia takes on Missouri in the cold. That's all we have for this week. We will talk to you next Wednesday after early signing day. We'll talk to you then.